Ramsey TV.
Yes, this is one of my favorite fans over here. It's by OEM Tools. Yeah, I suppose this is an industrial fan. They use this at factories. This is one of like four fans that I have. I'm a fan of fans. I'm a huge fan of fans. If I turned my camera around, you would see another fan that I generally use during the day. It's blowing right on me, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Hurricane, which is a misnomer of the vulgarest proportions because it should be called Spring Breeze. Yeah, it doesn't put out much air, but this honey, wow. Some people think I used fans to cool off. No, I don't. I use them for companionship. And unfortunately, that's not even a joke. Yeah, I like the noise with it. I don't know how people can stand dead silence. I got a problem. Maybe I got a problem there. This is Martin Sender. And anything but silent here at the end of the week on the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. And today's presentation is brought to you by Uber Eats. Actually, not really, but I used an Uber Eats receipt to write down the title of this show, which is The Creation. I can't even read my own writing. Oh, yeah. The Christian Endgame is our starting point. You are going to love this. The Christian Endgame is our starting point. You see, where the Christians try to get, we're already there. What do they try to get? They try to get righteousness. They try to get perfection. They try to establish what they call holiness. What they call holiness is not what holiness really is. Holiness is separation unto God, but what they think it is moral attainment, some kind of moral perfection, a stellar walk. You see, that's what they're all shooting for. And they work every day with great feats of asceticism, and they're constantly self-analyzing, monitoring their walk. And it's a shame because it's a strain. It's a strain on these poor little Christians. What they don't realize is, and what frustrates the daylights out of them, and what also frustrated the daylights out of the Jews, is that God has put us at righteousness already. On day one, he declares us to be righteous. Well, on day one, we realize that he has made us righteous via Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So on day one, we're there. On day one, we are at the place, and see, Christians don't know this, which is sad. We're at the place where they're trying all their lives to get to. And they don't realize that righteousness is an act of God that is imputed to you, that God says it's true, and you just believe him that it's true, just like Abraham did. But see, Christians don't believe that it's true, and so they're straining, they're trying, and that's really the main goal of any religion, is you begin this uphill climb to reach perfection status. And speaking of uphill climb, I'm always reminded of Mount Everest, the analogy. It's a perfect analogy. Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, one of the most difficult mountains to climb. Well, actually, it's not. Actually, K2 is probably the most difficult, but Mount Everest, certainly the most celebrated. And so you have the Christian camp amassing at base camp, you know, which is also, yeah, well, base camp's pretty far up there. It's about 18,000 feet, but they're gearing up for this climb, and they're acclimating down there at base camp, and the time comes then for them to tackle the Khumbu Icefall on the way to Camp 2. And then, of course, they come around to the western Khum, trying to attain to Camp 2 and just beyond Camp 2, of course. And then, challenge of challenges, they have to transverse the Lhotse face. Yes. Oh, the Lhotse face on the way to Camp 3. Not too easy, right? Then the South Col up there near Camp 4, which is the starting point for an assault on the summit. Yo, they're all about assaulting the summits. It's an assault, an assault, an assault. That's why you see Onward Christian Soldiers. You see the graphics, and they love this idea of now see, we are racing, but we're not racing for salvation. We're racing, Paul says, we're racing for a prize, the high calling above. It's about suffering evil with the evangel, things like that. No, but their salvation is at stake. Their salvation is at stake, and they think that God is constantly monitoring them, constantly reviewing their performance every day. Again, like Simon Cowell on America's Got Talent, or is he on Britain's Got Talent? I don't know, latest there. But in the meantime, can you imagine if any of these Christians were to, like, get close? Not that they can, but just for the sake of the analogy. So let's say they get over the Khumbu icefall with their ladders and their pitons and their crampons, and some of them with tampons and their ice picks, and they get to Camp 2, let's say, and they get to Camp 3. That's right. They've traversed the Lhotse face, and now they're faced with the Hillary Step at the Southern Col between Camp 4 and the summit, okay? And let's just say that some of them can get a grip and just look up at the summit, and what do they see? What do they see? They see us, members of the body of Christ, frolicking around, miraculously not needing supplemental oxygen. We're up there having picnics, playing badminton, and just having a grand old time. We have picnic tables up there. The best way to say it is we're gallivanting. We are gallivanting on the summit of Everest. That's right, 29,028 feet, and they're just almost at the point of death. They have all their equipment. They're just loaded down with their down. They're loaded down with down. Yeah, down coats, down pants, and again the crampons, the tampons, the ice axes, and they can't believe it because we're up there in our shorts and our t-shirts. Woohoo! How did you people get here? They will want to know, how did you people get here? Well, we were declared righteous. We were here on day one because we believe what God said of us, and this puts us on a summit of what? A summit of beauty, summit of truth, summit of appreciation. We don't have to work because we are called, 2 Timothy 1:9, not in accord with our acts. This is such a rare thing, but it explains to you why the Christians can't stand a message of grace. Humans like to work. And it also explains to you why the Jews hated Paul, because Paul is delivering these Greeks, these tree-worshipping Greeks, delivering them to the summit of righteousness, where an Israelite strained to attain his or her entire life, doing the law, observing the feasts, sacrificing, praying, sweating. In the Catholic world, they're got their rosary beads out, saying the prayers every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Over and over and over and over and over again, these prayer loops. That's what the Christians, that's what the Catholics are doing. They're also giving things up for Lent, because that will help you get to the summit sooner. If for 5 weeks out of the year you give up Hershey bars, oh, God is impressed by that. That gets you up to the Western Coombe at the edge of the Lhotse face. That'll do that. No, you can't get over the Hillary Step by giving up Hershey bars. You have to give up your favorite television show. That gets you up the Hillary Step. Well, when I was a kid, I think I gave up Julia. I gave up watching Julia during Lent. I thought of giving up That Girl, but now Marlo Thomas was just too cute. So I didn't quite make the grade as a kid. What a day when I found out that I was already considered to be righteous by God. God's objective opinion. It didn't depend on my opinion. And so I had the audacity as a child. It takes a child to believe these things. I had the audacity to believe, God, that I was already at the summit. I was already at the peak. I'm looking around. I go, I don't even need supplemental oxygen? No. I don't need a ladder? No. I don't need pitons, crampons, and ice axes? No, no, and no. It's not dangerous? No. It's fun. It's fun to play badminton on the summit of Mount Everest. But, ooh, if the Christians could get a little finger hold up there and look over, boy, are they mad. Boy, are they mad. And the Jews were so mad at the Apostle Paul. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, watch this now. I'm in Philippians 3. Paul speaks about having confidence in flesh. And in Philippians 3, verse 4, and am even I having confidence in flesh also? If any other one is presuming to have confidence in flesh, I rather. Paul had many reasons on paper to be confident in flesh. And he goes down the list here. In circumcision, the eighth day, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In relation to law, I'm in verse 5, Philippians 3. In relation to law, a Pharisee. In relation to zeal, persecuting the ecclesia. But wait, wait, wait. This is what I'm aiming for in verse 6. In relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless. Listen, Paul said, in relation to the law, which is the perfection of God, Paul says, becoming blameless. Blamelessness is where Christian religion wants to get, where every religion wants to get. Every religion is straining to reach the summit of their own version of righteousness, of perfection, of blamelessness. So Paul had actually attained this. But what he says next is a complete shocker. This is what Paul says next. Let's review. Hebrew of Hebrews, in relation to law, a Pharisee. In relation to zeal, persecuting the ecclesia. In relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless. But things which were gained to me, including becoming blameless. That I added that in there. Things which were gained to me, these I have deemed a forfeit because of Christ. But to be sure, I am also deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of whom I forfeited all and am deeming it to be refuse, garbage, that I should be gaining Christ and may be found in him, not having my righteousness. Here it is. Which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Woohoo! Where was I when the faith of Christ was exercised on the cross? I didn't even exist yet. But that is the foundation of my righteousness. This is Martin Zenner speaking to you now. But Paul could have said the same thing. I mean, he was alive at the time, but was he on the cross? No. Jesus Christ was performing a singular act on behalf of the entire human race, and then he gives faith to acknowledge his faith. So, this thing that Christians are trying to get, which is blamelessness, Paul actually got it, and he threw it away. It was a forfeit because he didn't attain it through a revelation of Jesus Christ's faith. And he didn't even attain it. It was all his opinion. It was all the opinion of maybe his contemporaries. But it didn't count. Because where he thought he was at the summit, he thought he was maybe at the Hillary step. Hell, he wasn't even at base camp. He was at a bar in Kathmandu. Yeah. These Christians that think they're at the Hillary step on the South Col. In reality, that's all a Hollywood wall. In reality, they're at a bar in Kathmandu. drinking whatever the Sherpas drink. Fermented yak saliva. I don't know what they drink there, but they're not where they think they are. So Paul looks at it. If it was true blamelessness, why would he forfeit it? But it wasn't. It was a fake blamelessness based on confidence in the flesh. And he ends up deeming it, considering it a forfeit because of Christ. What do you mean because of Christ? Well, Paul says, to be sure, I'm deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge. I tell you all the time that this thing is about knowledge. That doesn't sound very spiritual. Martin Sender says you have to be intellectual. No, I'm just saying that you have to have a knowledge. God gives you a knowledge. What knowledge? Of what to do to impress God? No. A knowledge. This is the word I'm reading in the scriptures. It's in dark face type. It has a corresponding Greek word behind it. Because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, because of whom I forfeited all and am deeming it to be refuse, that I should be gaining Christ. Well, there you go. That's a misleading phrase. I mean, it's true, but people misapprehend it. Christianity misapprehends it all the time. How do you gain Christ? Well, you gain Christ by, quote, being found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Romans 3:21, yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest, yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. So you see, the so-called blamelessness that Paul was seeking to attain, he got closer than any human being could get in his own mind, even comparing himself to other human beings. Yet it was a forfeit because he was coming up by the wrong route. The wrong route. Paul found out that it was a matter of acknowledging a fact concerning himself, namely that he was righteous apart from works of law. That set him at the top of where, of the place that is perfection, righteousness, at the place where he strove his entire life to arrive at which to arrive, by his own efforts, by his own striving in the flesh. So, how great to be declared righteous by God, to be set on the summit of everything that every religion's trying to gain, everything that every religion seeks to gain by works of the flesh. We have already arrived. And so, if that's our starting point, if our starting point is Christians' ending point, which they will never get to, then what do we do? We have all this time on our hands. We're already righteous. What do we do? Two things. I'm going to shock you with this at the end of the week. Two things that we do, knowing that on day one we're already righteous, considered so by God, imputed to us soon to be actual righteousness where we do everything right and never sin. We don't do that yet, but we will. Here's what you do. Number one, this is the shocker. You enjoy it. Enjoy it. Swing those badminton rackets. Unwrap the chicken on your Mount Everest summit picnic. Gallivant at 29,028 feet in your gym shorts and your sandals. That's what you do. Number two, you are thankful. You thank God that he did such an amazing thing for you, not through your faith, but through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look down and you see those poor people struggling and slipping on the Khumbu icefall, sliding down the Lhotse face, somersaulting in a negative direction off the South Col, feel pity, really feel sorry. You can try to tell them, but it probably won't work, because see the sound of their canned oxygen, it's kind of compromising their hearing, and they can't really see because their goggles are fogged. So leave that to God. You rejoice in the altitudes of righteousness declared to be yours by God through the faith of Jesus Christ.